right here on your best mix of music, 98.4 Capital FM. It's always nice to see familiar faces in the studio. One of the first people I met when the late Chris Kirubi bought Capital FM was a young luminary who was working then with Hacko.
A youth?
Yes, very much a youth. He might even be younger than I am.
Please tell me he was wearing like a really awkward suit.
No. He was looking very dapper. Oh. Who gave us who gave us an address, if you will, about what it's like to work under the chairman and what Capital should be. Also, he may not remember this, but I credit him with saving my job.
Which time?
Fried? Because chairman came in with his own ideas about who was going to be on breakfast and who was going to do drive. And this man stood by me and said, keep this guy. He's going to be a star.
Keep the wildebeest.
And I appreciate. Do you remember this conversation?
Wow. Now I remember. Because I was an non-executive director of Capital FM when we bought
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah, I was there when Capital was bought. I was there.
So you're coming home, essentially.
This is home.
Yes, 100%.
Did you bring us some snacks from home, Dad?
And I was the first marketing director.
That's right.
Of Capital FM.
Yes.
Wow.
So and after Chris bought it.
I feel like he's walking around going, this should be changed.
No. What he's walking around seeing is that nothing has changed.
But it's fantastic to come and feel the energy.
Yes.
And you know what? To encounter Faisal Baghazal.
Oh my God.
Faisal was my first boss when I was a management trainee in Coca-Cola Nairobi Bottlers.
He actually mentioned that to me the other day, by the way. He's got a lot of energy.
And now you understand why I came in at 7.
Yes. That guy can talk.
He trained me.
That MD,
trained me. You never come to work after your boss.
Yes, fair enough.
That voice is, of course, Polycarp Igathe. Now, we have mentioned some of the huge, huge companies in the country, in the region, and you have been instrumental and part of those companies. We will get back to that, Polycarp, but if I may call you Polycarp.
Sure.
I want to actually start with just a bit of a quick fire session.
Okay,
don't be so nervous. You're okay. You thought Nairobi governor would be difficult, but this is also intense. First of all, I will just preface this with saying at 9:10, we would like you to sing with us in community karaoke. We're very bad singers. You get to choose the song, so just be thinking about that. All right, getting to know you, Polycarp, because I don't have the privilege. What do you love about Nairobi? Go.
I love the fact that it's the only city closest to the equator that has a national park next to it, has a forest over 2,000 hectares of forest, and there's nowhere in the world with the vibe of Nairobi.
Okay.
Love that.
Very nice.
Love that.
Favorite hidden gem in Nairobi?
Oh, wow. I would like to say Karura Forest.
Okay. All right. I'm loving the outdoors vibe. All right. Worst thing about Nairobi?
That it's a tale of two cities and two lifestyles. One of desperation and one of hope.
Oh, I like it. Oh,
it's a Charles Dickens scene.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. And unfortunately, the haves never know what happens in the places where the have-nots live. That's the worst part about it as well.
Absolutely. I grew up in a city where we would go kula nyama, eat meat in Kiamaiko. I'm sure you guys don't know where that is. But we would go home to different estates, but today everybody sits in their corner and sees their own side of the city. Nobody sees the whole piece, so it's really disappointing that we have such desperation in a city where people say it's the best city to live in.
Yeah, that's very interesting, actually. Very interesting point, yeah. Mm.
Now, Polycarp, let me ask you this. You have had a very, very illustrious career. We're going to get to that. What did you studied in Australia and worked in Australia for a while?
No, I studied in Kenya.
But you worked in Australia in New South Wales?
That was my first job in Queensland, in Brisbane. God's own country.
But how did you get there?
As a student at University of Nairobi, I joined an organization called ISEC, the International Association of Students Interested in Business Management. And I was the president of ISEC in Kenya in 1993, 1994. What we used to do is organize exchange programs. We look for jobs for foreign students to come and work here. Mm-hmm. And then we'll do the same.
Would go there.
And everybody had an opportunity to join ISEC. And as an ISECer, I got to go for my traineeship. My first job was in Queensland Health. I left university, graduated, did my exams in 95. We were 1 year late. Then I graduated in December and in February the next year.
You did, of course, you studied at UON. University of Nairobi. Talk to me a little bit about what you think is going on with our tertiary education in the capital city, because it's a mess.
I studied at the University of Nairobi, and tertiary education has become a mess because there's a real disconnect. It's now about regurgitating and pushing off. When we went to university, there were things we used to call tutorial fellows, and you know, tutorials were small classes where you had a tutor who then observe what it is you're doing. We were really trained to practice what we learned, and also to think more than anything else, to think, and not just to think to show off and be arrogant, but to think in order to generate insight. And insight is a penetrating discovery about human truths that you that you apply to unlock growth and transform people's lives.
But we talk
that's
about
what that's what we were taught at university.
But
today, when you see students, they basically are into memorization and all of that. So when you talk about tertiary education, I think we have great universities. I mean, Strathmore is impressive. We have very good technical and vocational. We have very good technical and vocational educational institutions too. I don't think what we require is more incentives, maybe for faculty. We need more technical vocational and also more values.
But when we talk about we're focusing on university, but we're talking about the way you've described your education at University of Nairobi, the element of pride that was instilled in you by the people that were teaching you, essentially. Nairobi also has made that transformation. There was a pride of being a Nairobian that I feel in the last 10, 15, maybe 20 years could be the number, that we've lost being, you know, now it's this rat race where everyone's just trying to get ahead. And we're going to talk about that as well, because you're now going to be tasked with fixing a broken county/city. And I do believe it's broken in a way, primarily because of bad leadership before this election that is coming up. We'll talk about that shortly as well. But I know the education thing is very close to Davina's heart, and she's talking about also the kind of studies that are not math, science, literature, but other things.
I'm actually talking about the state of tertiary education in terms of administration. The problem is not the students. The problem is the administration and the fees.
The problem in every institution in this country is leadership. We rise and fall. Mm-hmm. The quality of leadership.
100%.
And I think that's what we should be talking about.
We are going to be talking about it when we come back. Of course, you are heading into a very busy period for yourself, just a few months away now, as we make our decisions on who will be the next governor of the biggest city economically in East and Central Africa. And this is a huge undertaking that you are spearheading with your team. We're going to come back and talk about that shortly. Capital FM. Now then, we have Polycarp Igathe in studio with us this morning. Now let's just talk about the elephant in the room, and that is your previous post in government was as a deputy governor for a man who was handcuffed and sounded like this. That's Mike Sonko. Now I don't want to make fun of Mike. I understand that, you know, he did his bit, blah blah blah. Now he's running for the other governorship of 001, which is fine. We wish him all the best. But you worked with Mike with Mike Sonko, and then. You decided to step down, and I think, you know, many of our listeners are asking, why would you step down when you had already a post, you know, as a deputy governor?
Farid, thanks for that question. And first of all, let me reiterate that Mike Sonko is my friend. We've remained friends. There's a silver lining to every dark cloud. I say there's a silver lining, because the silver lining is Mike Sonko planted my name and my brand in politics, and I'm forever grateful. And he selected me, because a governor selects the deputy. And I'm forever grateful for that. What did not work out is that I did not earn his trust. And I did not feel I had earned the trust of the institutions around us politically to get the job done, because I have repeated this very many times. I read the cabinet of Nairobi in the newspapers like the rest of Kenya. When it came to nominating people to the county assemblies, the ruling parties then selected their girlfriends mostly to become members of the nominated county assembly.
Right, right.
And then I said, what am I doing here? And Farid, let me give you an analogy, I got the feeling that to be trusted here is like somebody insists they'll take you to a brothel, but they don't just leave you in the brothel. They want to stand at the door and see what you're doing. That's how you aren't trusted.
Fair enough.
And I said, I said, listen, I have failed to earn the trust. And I'm a believer that when you fail at something, fail quickly so you start succeeding.
Right.
Don't fail slowly. Like many people fail slowly.
You talk about Mike Sonko selecting you and then stamping your name as a member of the government. And obviously, without that, you probably wouldn't be here today talking about August. Were you guys friends before?
Oh, absolutely. We were friends. Mike Sonko was very helpful to me when I was chief executive officer at Vivo Energy Shell. I met him and he was doing Sonko Rescue Team, and I helped him with a couple of his trucks to deliver water to slum areas. So I told him, please go and get fuel, and as part of our CSR, because I thought that was great. And that water problem continues to persist till today.
Yeah.
So that is what we were friends. And we were not like really good friends, but it's like, you know, Mike Sonko is a guy you meet and, you know, he gives you a fist bump.
Definitely a fist bump, for sure. Yeah, before fist bumps were mandatory.
But he has a great heart. He has a good heart, but he's had a very tough upbringing.
And maybe bit off a bit more than he could chew.
Failing quickly so that you can start to succeed. Seed faster, I guess.
Fail quickly.
You say it much better than I do. But this is 98.4 Capital FM. That is Polycarp Igathe. He's not going anywhere. Capital
FM. All right, back with Polycarp Igathe, one of two candidates remaining for the governor's post here in Nairobi. And of course, a huge, huge task at hand. Not the election, obviously, because I'm sure that you've done everything in your power to make sure that you are the front runner. But then the next 5 years is where the work begins. And 5 years of we can sit here as punters, as citizens of a city, residents of Nairobi, and say that we don't feel like Nairobi is a Nairobi for us anymore. And that probably has a lot to do with the last 10 years. We talked about NMS off-air that had to step in. And the question I have is, would you be working with NMS in this role as governor to ensure, because, I mean, you're not just going to come in on the day after being elected and say, right, that's it, NMS out. They've done some good work.
My first agenda is to reap the dividend that is Nairobi. When I speak to people out there, I say it is time to harvest the blessing that is Nairobi for the people of Nairobi and for the people of Kenya. Nairobi is not a curse. And NMS has shown us the first early signals of the dividend that Nairobi can be. And Nairobi Metropolitan Services came as a consequence of political moves. Jubilee took political charge of the city. Jubilee was in the national government. And His Excellency the President, with appointed General Buddy, who at Nairobi MNMS has done a really good job, especially in the slum areas, in the low settlement areas where lower class people are at, hospitals especially, access roads, walkways. I'll give you an example here in CBD now. Walking from the National Theatre going to the railway station is such a breeze if you look at the walkway that's actually been done. And that's, Nairobians are looking for basics. Just the 15,350 people employed in Nairobi, gobbling up 24 billion shillings of national government money. Nairobians want water in their taps, sewers fixed, garbage collected, health centers and dispensaries with medicine. They want green spaces. They want one license. They don't want somebody who's running a shop doesn't want to pay for 12 licenses. People don't want harassments. They basically want services. So service delivery is the second agenda. First agenda is really, first of all, inspiring hope and telling people we live in heaven. This is the best place on earth. Nairobi's, when I said reap the dividend, Nairobi is 8 hours from every major city in the world. It's the eye of Africa. It's on the equator. It's got the biggest underutilized asset in Nairobi is the people. The second one is a natural endowment. And the third one is really the assets of Nairobi. For it, you guys can't even believe Nairobi doesn't even have a fixed assets register. Nairobi is not a 10-year problem. It's a problem that has persisted for over 40 years. The last executive in Nairobi who did something was Her Excellency the late Margaret Kenyatta when she was mayor. After Andrew Kimani Gumba, Nairobi has been on a free fall.
Polycarp, let me just stop you there. You are a businessman, you're a corporate executive. You've worked for some of the country, the region's biggest and best companies. Why you? Why? How are you going to do these things? You know.
Number one, because I have the bandwidth to be the leader in Nairobi. By bandwidth, you know, I'm sure Kenyans understand by bandwidth. When you don't have bandwidth in your phone, I always download. It's
oh, we know.
So don't bring a low bandwidth leader to Nairobi. You need, and I have demonstrated bandwidth through my education and through my experience. I have been accountable. I've been audited every year by boards, shareholders, by managers. I've had supervisors in my entire career. I live in this community. I have served the community. I'm not coming here for my ego. I have chaired the board of management for Bishop Gatimo Gandu Girls for over 10 years, even as an executive officer. I've been chairman of the Association of Manufacturers. I've been chairman of the Petroleum Institute of East Africa. Uhuru Kenyatta, as president, appointed me chairman of Kenya Anti-Counterfeit Agency, Special Economic Zones Authority of Kenya.
Mm.
I have depth and breadth. I have the cognitive ability and the energy. And I wake up to a calling. I don't wake up to an alarm.
Okay.
That's why I have come. This is a calling for me. I come to serve. I'm not coming for a salary. That's why I withdrew and repeated the last time. I'm not here for my personal private greed. I'm here to deliver public need.
So it's a legacy as well that you want to leave. Davina's
and,
made
and,
it very...
And I'm 50 years old. I'm turning 50 this year. It's half time for me. I am successful at 50 years. It's time
That's
for me to
true.
Be significant.
But
I have no issue. I'm really saying to you, you have a choice. You choose. The choice is clear. You choose a servant, somebody who wants to come and serve and leave a legacy and actualize, or you choose somebody whose ego needs to be.
Let me ask you this. I'm dying to ask this question. Polycarp, you're a well-read, well-accomplished, well-spoken man. I'm asking you, we have Chokoras, we have Matatus on strike in Westlands right now. We have people getting shot in their cars and killed 3 days ago. Are you too nice? Are you too polite? Are you too measured and balanced? Maybe we do need an alarm.
When I use the word alarm, the people who wake up to a clock, they come to do things they don't enjoy. A calling means it's a vocation.
Can you be Kali, Polycarp?
Yes, I can be Kali, but to be Kali for what? We have the military, we have the police, we have the state organs that have, as Max Weber puts it, lethal and legal means of violence. I am a leader. My work is to inspire, to bring hope, to organize, to motivate, to control, to be a manager. That's really what Nairobi requires. Nairobi doesn't require a kiboko. And there are laws, and those laws will be followed. And those, and as a kiboko, the kiboko will be the laws.
Let me tell you, we
should not, leadership is not about a firing squad. It's about incentivizing people to obey the law. I'll give you a lesson I learned in Australia. You've got to allow me to share this.
Please.
In Australia, I noticed when you are driving very fast on a highway as a young person, you'd get a signal saying there is a speed gun in 10 kilometers. What is the law telling you? Slow down, come back to the law. They're not really wanting to punish you. But here, people wait for you to break the law. Then they come and harass you, put you down. The level
ask
of
for
anger,
bribes.
Ask for bribes. The level of anger here. So it's not about my temperament. It's about me coming to office and delivering what Nairobi requires.
Which is a question I want to ask is, you are, as Davina said, an accomplished executive, if you will. And do you look at Nairobi in a way as a failed business and something? Because from what I'm getting from you is you'll sit at the top as a CEO of the county, right? Let's just put it into business terms, make it really easy to digest. And you have functions below you, middle management, upper management, lower management, right? Police, military, all that. Is it time to put things in order in the office and fix the business, the broken business that is Nairobi? Is that something? Because I also feel that if we look at Nairobi like a business with a CEO being the governor, that is the way to fix it, with checks and balances and organizational and people sitting in their silos and doing their work and then reporting to the CEO.
I absolutely welcome that. Nairobi has shareholders, and the shareholders of Nairobi, we are saying, is make Azimio la Umoja, the political party, the shareholder of Nairobi. Political parties are shareholders. What shareholders are to a business, that's what a political party is to a city. So Azimio la Umoja as a shareholder. Then Azimio la Umoja has then deployed Polycarp Igathe, together with all the county assembly members and together with the management and staff as the management of the city. So how business work is shareholders invest in employees. Employees is then serve the customer, but the customer this time is the voter and the resident of Nairobi, and that one delivers the returns. But what has happened? Nairobi is not failed. There's just a short circuit by organized crime, not cartels. Employees, that is the governors of Nairobi, political governors, and civil service managers of the city have colluded with suppliers to the city and have colluded to cheat. And even the shareholders have also partnered to cheat the voter. So it's like shareholders and management stealing from the customer. I'm using business.
But I think
it helps for people to see. Imagine you're running a business, you the shareholder, together with your management, you're stealing, sheer theft from the customer. If the customer loves you, no one will harm you. That's what I got to learn in business. Now, one thing I know about politics is the voter loves you, no one will harm you. Look at Raila Amolo Odinga. You know, he's the only politician in this country with an organic following. The rest have a transactional following.
Mm.
So it's how much money they generate and mobilize, as the word goes.
Yeah.
To show up.
It's the buzzword before elections. Hashtag mobilize. Yeah.
When you hear the word mobilize, it means run, bring our money. Yeah. And that's why many politicians who are very good at mobilizing, we have to use money, yes?
Yes.
People everywhere you go, people say, Usitu Sahau, don't forget us.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because politicians have been mobilized to their heart. So after the elections, they disappear. And that's why there's a whole industry that has come up of mobilizing.
You have a lot of love.
And it has to be sustained. But there's a season of politics and there's a season for work. I can't wait for the season for work.
Right. Mm. Yeah, because that begins immediately after the election. You've got a lot of love on WhatsApp here. This guy's brilliant. It's going to be a tough choice. The governor is Polycarp. The other one, I doubted his learning. someone has asked a question here. I'm going to ask it, even though I feel like maybe I should have waited until we were off air to ask it. But I'm going to ask it here as we want to be as transparent as possible. Someone is saying, can you address the fact that many or some think you're a state house project?
Yeah, you know what? I'm a project of God Almighty because I am waking up to a calling. This is a calling for me. People must remember I'm an adult who raises up their hand and I have no mental challenge. So I woke up in 2017 and decided to go to politics. I've woken up again and decided to go to politics. It's a personal choice I have made to come and serve you. Please, please judge me on chapter 6. Do I have integrity? Am I suitable? And am I competent? For far too long, we have piled important national responsibility, especially in public service, on people who are confident, not people who are competent. Watu wa kujichocha.
Wow.
I love that. I love that.
So because, and secondly, and this is a problem nationwide. We started by talking about leadership. You're finding there are far too many of us in the traffic today who are so annoyed because, you know, you're going to work for an incompetent leader who steals, a bad actor. How can we have a country where bad actors beat good actors and bad actors are the ones who are on the fast lane? Good actors are on the slow lane.
Mm.
So if I go to work, I work hard, I put effort, I take advantage of the opportunities that have been provided to me, I start apologizing. We're denigrating effort. Between opportunity and outcomes in life is effort, and we're denigrating it. We are calling it all kinds of names, to the point where we're even denigrating how people are born. You know, who your father and mother is and how you're born is an accident of a sperm and an egg.
Mm. Yeah.
Now you're hearing people saying dynasty. Now, who is voted for to be born?
I mean, if that was the case, there'd be a Washington and, still in power in the United States.
And I can tell you, it's become such a big political thing.
Yeah.
An accident of a sperm and an egg has become a big political thing. So sometimes I look at the contest in 9th of August and saying, for me, it's framed itself. It's a contest between organized crime and cartels versus organized politics and solid people who want to serve and rescue their country. This is the moment. Capital
FM. All right, 98.4 Capital FM, your best mix of music, your best mix of guests as we grill grill Polycarp Igathe, and we will carry on with that. But I'm asking you, where do you want to go and why? That's right, Fly Jumbo Jet are taking you all over, and they are making it possible.
Where taking it to Watamu next Friday.
So you would fly Nairobi Malindi,
yep.
which is very, very quick and easy.
Yep.
Well, Fareed, you can't win the two tickets that we're giving away tomorrow, but you can. All you need to do is tweet us at 984 in the morning. Fly Jumbo Jet have given, they're celebrating 8 years old this year. Congratulations to Jumbo Jet. But they said, you know what? We are starting a rewards program. There's three tiers to that. Fly more, earn more, and you earn points on their loyalty program. Those points can be used to other tickets, to luggage, anything like that. But they're also giving away two tickets. Polycarp, I must ask you, out of all of these brilliant, beautiful business and leisure destinations by Jumbo Jet, which one would you go to and why? We're in Nairobi, so I'm not going to let you choose that one. Mombasa, Diani, Malindi, Kisumu, Eldoret, Lamu, or Goma. Where do you want to go and why, courtesy of Jumbo Jet, Polycarp?
I think I'll go to Goma.
He's like, I need a break from this place. I'm done.
But I hear Goma's got a real buzz and a vibe
friend,
to it.
You've never seen anything as beautiful as Lake Kivu.
Yeah, yeah. Fair enough.
And it's one of those, and it's one of those places that people talk down, but it's so nice to go. It's just like Nairobi.
Actually, the sunsets on Lake Kivu, I was on the Rwanda side. I've never seen a sunset in my life like the sunset on Lake Kivu.
I was group chief commercial officer of Equity Group, and I used to go to Goma pretty often. So I would like to encourage a lot of Nairobians to go there for honeymoon. And you know, a lot of people from Goma come for business in Nairobi. So we're
right.
really connected at the hip.
All right. Now, as we move into, so that's you can book Polycarp's flight to Goma. Talk to your people at Jumbo Jet.
I can. All right, Jumbo Jet, you're listening.
Yeah. So as we move into this very intense period, we're heading into June, two more months after that, and then we have our elections. There'll be two names on the Nairobi County Governor ballot, two names that have possible chances of getting into this position as Governor of Nairobi, yourself and Johnson Sakaja. He spoke very highly of you last week when he was here as well, which was nice. This is, I would say... Johnson has he definitely portrays the UDA model, you know what I mean? And you obviously are talking about business statistics, things that need to be fixed, leadership, etc., etc. What is the first item on that to-do list the day you're sworn in?
The first item is to file the county, to prepare the county integrated development plan. That is rooted in the aspirations and demands of the people of Nairobi. And secondly, to also issue an executive order that creates a fit for purpose organization to serve and deliver services for the people of Nairobi. One that rewards and incentivizes competence, then that rewards and incentivizes the right behavior and performance metrics for the city, and one that basically gets people, the city county workers, inspired to work and deliver services. For far too long, they've been demoralized by very poor political leadership. They are such a demoralized force, and that's why you see that sometimes they take out their frustrations on the citizen through the city inspectorate and everything. A demoralized employees completely destroy customers, and that's what shareholders don't see. And I told you, shareholders in this political game, the shareholders is the political party. So when you're a governor and you're a politician, because that is what I am, I must make sure that the county secretary, the cabinet, the chief officers, and the officers under them are completely inspired and motivated. They have clarity of what they're expected to do and how their performance, their success or failure will be measured. Those will be the first things that we do.
Okay.
But the most also important thing is go back to the people who elected us and show them the plan of action we have in year one. The residents' associations, the women's group, the youth groups. Those are not useful during campaigning. They're more useful the first 100 days after the office. And go back to them and say, are you happy with this? Can we start with this? Because the Constitution of Kenya demands we who have been given power to serve according to the needs of the people. And that's why my campaign platform is Nairobi tunavyoitaka, Nairobi the way we want it. Not the way Polycarp wants it, but the way the residents of Nairobi want it. And the organizing question of my politics is, Nairobi, what do you want?
I must say, I really love your massive, massive boards. I see them all around Westlands. And actually, in Langasa, as I drive home. Now, Polycarp, what do you say to the people who say you have been a corporate executive for so long with teams and running these multinational companies to do what? What do you say to people who say you're disconnected? Tell me how you've stayed rooted in Nairobi and the haves and the have-nots.
Okay, first of all, I was born in Pumwani Hospital. All right, that's a normal hospital in Nairobi. I started working, and luckily, you have the same boss I used to have, and he appointed me area sales manager of Coca-Cola in the late 90s. I have pounded the pavements of Nairobi in ways people do not know and do not understand. I started the penetration of Coca-Cola into, for instance, Kibera. I know it backward forward. Lindi, Gatwikira, Kisumu Ndogo, Makina. I've done work. I used to sell ball pens. I've always been fast moving consumer goods. You show me a ball pen is the best distributed product on earth and in Kenya. You find it in every tabletop in Kenya. Then I sold Miadi. I know all the salon owners.
Wow.
And all the hair products. I sold beer, Tasca. You show me where Tasca does not reach. I was the sales operations manager of Kenya Breweries in 2001. Now, let me show you. I've just come off a job at Equity. Equity does not bank. Equity banks the hoi polloi of this country, and that's why it's a big bank. And that's why I have an insight. I have never agreed to work in a company that does not serve micro, small people and traders. That has been my life. So when you see me with my suit, that's just corporate uniform. During the weekends, you'll find me in places. I even go to places where people say, unakujanga hapa. And I wasn't even in politics. Do you come here? And I'm like, who
I love
comes
how
here?
He has to. You don't have to translate Swahili. No, you're okay.
Just checking. Just
I need
checking.
The subtitle option.
And I'm certain that those places where you're found on the weekends is you. Meeting with the people that actually are going to be the ones to make informed decisions. We're getting a lot of WhatsApps here saying, thank you so much for bringing Polycarp. It really helps in making our decision. Are you, we have a history of politicians with the overpromise and underdeliver. What I'm getting from you this morning is a very measured approach to your stint as governor, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it may be. And I have to say that I appreciate the believability, because you're not telling me, yeah, on day one,
gotta change everything.
There's gonna be roadside cafes and people busking and no more chokoras on the streets. You're saying, hold on, this is a 40-year problem, and we are gonna take our time and do it properly. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And we will start with the basic: clean toilets in the office, people reporting to work, and people doing what they're supposed to do because they earn a salary. Capital FM.
Your heart out with Capital's Community Karaoke.
Long time ago, I can still remember how the music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I deliver. Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about this widowed bride. But something touched me deep inside. The music died. So bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, "This'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die."
Turn it up!
Did you write the book of love? And do you have faith in God above? If the Bible tells you so, Do you believe in rock and roll? Can music save your mortal soul? Can you teach me how to dance real slow? Well, I know that you're in love with him, cause I saw you dancing in the gym. You both kicked off your shoes, and I dig those rhythm and blues. I was a lonely teenage bouncing back with a pink carnation and a pickup truck, but I knew you was out of luck. Today the music died. I started singing bye bye Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. Now for 10 years we've been on our own. The moss grows fat on a rolling stone. But that's not how it used to be. When the jesters sang for the king and queen in a Cody borrowed from James Dean, and a voice that came from you and me. Oh, and while the king was looking down, the jester stole his thorny crown. The courtroom was adjourned. No verdict was returned. There was Lenin read a book of marks. The quartet practiced in the park, and we sang dirges in the dark. Today the music died. We were singing bye bye Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die.
Helter shelter in the summer swelter, the birds flew off with a fallout shelter, 8 miles high and falling fast. Foul on the grass, the players tried for a forward pass, with the jester on the sidelines in a cast. Now the halftime air was sweet perfume, while the sergeants played a marching tune. We all got up to dance, oh, but we never got the chance, cause the players tried to take the field. The marching band refused to yield. Do you recall what was revealed the day the music died? We started singing bye bye Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die.
We got 3 more minutes of this song, guys.
Oh yeah, we were all in one place. A generation lost in space, no time left to start again.
So come on,
be nimble, Jack, be quick. Jack flash sat on a candlestick, cause fire is the devil's own brain. As I watched him on the stage, my hands were clenched in fists of rage. No angel born in hell could break that Satan's spell. As the flames climbed high into the night to light the sacrificial rite, I saw Satan laughing with delight the day the music died. He was singing bye bye Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing this'll be the day that I die. This will be the day that I die.
I'm going to bring that down now. We definitely.
I met a girl who sang the blues.
We definitely.
And I asked her for some happy news.
I have to say, of all our community karaoke's that we've ever done, suggestions from guests, that was by far the best.
That was actually the
win. And this is one of the best songs ever. Ever written
I
enough.
Couldn't agree more.
That is so fun.
And Madonna should have never covered it.
Oh yeah.
And I love it because it inspires me for Nairobi. It tells, let's stop the Satan spell
yes,
in our city.
Absolutely. And fire is the devil's friend.
And the fire is the devil's friend.
Absolutely.
So bye-bye, bad Americans, Nairobi. Bye. Let's welcome a good city.
And Polycarp, I think with this city in your hands, from a personal perspective, and as I always say, I'm not partisan, I will never say who to vote for. But I do feel safe as a resident
Thank
of the
you.
City in your hands, having Thank known you for 20 years Thank and the fact that you saved my job as well, really.
Thank you, Farid. And thank you, Capital FM. And glad to be home. Thank you,
Thank
Davina.
You so
thank
much.
You very much.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
And vote for us on 9th of August if you want a well-run city.
Thank Woo! You so much, Polycarp Igathe. You've been Yay! A wonderful guest this morning. I know you've got now Capital News. You've got MD to meet. You've got another 3 hours
There's
here, by the
There's just a cluster of people waiting for you now.
Absolutely. And I've got door-to-door campaigns to do. God bless you all. And Thanks. Have a great day in Nairobi. Thank you,
Capital. There we go. Thank you, Polycarp. Thank you so much.